Number three, plié means to fold, bend, submit. It is a position in ballet, an exercise position. Let me give you a definition here. Plié, bent, bending, a bending of the knee or knees. This is an exercise to render the joints and muscles soft and pliable and the tendons flexible and elastic and to develop a sense of balance. There are two principal pliés, grand plié or full bending of the knees. The knees should be bent until the thighs are horizontal, and demi-plié or half bendings of the knees. Pliés are done at the bar and in the center in all five positions of the feet. The third position is usually omitted when a grand plié is executed in either the first, third, or fourth position, croisé. Feet in the fifth position but separated by the space of 1 foot, or the fifth position, the heels always rise off the ground and are lowered again as the knees straighten. The bending movement should be gradual and free from jerks, and the knees should be at least half bent before the heels are allowed. Half bent before the heels are allowed to rise. The body should rise at the same speed at which it descends, pressing the heels into the floor. In the grand plié, in the second position of or the fourth position, ouverte, feet in the first position but separated by the space of 1 foot, the heels do not rise off the ground. All demi-pliés are done without lifting the heels from the ground. In all pliés, the legs must be well turned out from the hips, the knees open and well over the toes, and the weight of the body evenly distributed on both feet, with the whole foot grasping the floor. Father, we thank you that you use everything, every discipline, to speak to us of the disciplines of the spiritual life. Paul spoke and wrote that you beat your body and you train for a wrestling position, that you train to win a race. And also, as in ballet, there's a training that speaks of the discipline of the spiritual life. Father, I pray that you open up and quicken to me what you have given, and that my pen articulate it in a flowing, anointing move of the Holy Spirit by the blood of Yeshua, and I thank you. We have gone from en garde, which is to engage, a fencing position, to touche, which means to point, to make contact. Now, this position, and this is what is revealed and open today in this progressive revelation about engaging in the spiritual life and the discipline it. Notice that a plié, let's first open this up a little bit, means to fold, to bend, to submit. It means a bending of the knees or knees. It suggests that perhaps this is a surrender, as in prayer, the bending of the knees, to fold, to bend, as an act of spiritual discipline. This morning in prayer, we put on the prayer Talit. And let's look at Leviticus 15 and see what this means to pray. What is the Lord saying in the prayer position that we are engaged in? We're going to learn of the discipline of prayer. The prayer has different facets and aspects to it. We will look in Numbers 15. Verse 37, tassels on the garment. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels on the corner of their garments throughout their generation, and to put a blue thread in the tassel of the corner. And you shall have the tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined, and that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy for your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Now the tallit is it's the garment, it's a shawl that has tassels and a blue thread on the bottom border. And this tallit is put over the head in order to pray. It is a prayer tent. It speaks of going in and closing yourself in the spiritual realm, coming into the white tallit. The blue threads are the heavenly connotations of coming into the heavenly tent, the tabernacle of God. And in the completed version of this, it is coming into the temple of the Lord. It is a mini temple, a mini tent. And it speaks of that we are the tabernacle of the Lord. We are the tent of the Lord. We are his body. He is the head. We are covered by Yeshua the head in the heavenly revelation. And that on the tassels, we are to remember all the commandments of God. And on the four corners, there's knots that say each knot for the name, the tetragram of God, Yahweh Hodveh, which is speaks of Yeshua, his Old Testament name. And the reason we have to come into this place, we have to, so to speak, labor to enter his rest, that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined. In other words, the natural man has to close himself in with the God, crucify the Lord, the finished work of the Lord, crucify the flesh, because his heart is and his eyes are always inclined to harlotry, and that you remember and do all God's commandments and be holy for your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. The land of Egypt was a land full of idolatrous and catering to the golden calves, the beast, the flesh that's operating in man in his natural state, in the state that he was born into. Now, this exercise, the plié, so here we understand, okay, here's where we're going to come up to the bar. In ballet, there's a bar. You do the plié at a bar. It is an exercise. It is not a dance movement. It's an exercise to render the joints and muscles soft and pliable and the tendons flexible and elastic, and to develop a sense of balance. This speaks of we come into this position at the bar, we come up to the bar of coming into God's tabernacle, his presence, and we remind ourselves through the tassels and the blue threads, through the exercise and the discipline of setting apart a certain time in order to worship the Lord and have fellowship with him, come in his communion with him, so we might know what he is telling us and what he's instructing us how to go, to seek and understand what his commandments are and that what he requires of us by the Spirit. This is not a legalistic thing. This is fulfilled in Yeshua, who came to tabernacle with men, Emmanuel, the Feast of Tabernacles, that we are a pilgrimage out of Egypt, out of the idolatrous beast system that we were born into this world, and that the Lord, he redeemed us through crucifying his flesh and spending his blood for us. The tabernacle of Moses is all a sign and a type of what's going on in heaven and Yeshua, the fulfillment, the perfect once and for all sacrifice, the blood sacrifice, of which we have no need of any longer. What we have need of is appropriating it, coming into his presence, setting apart a time and a space where we enter into his tabernacle, and then we abide there. We learn to, as we abide, as we stretch our tendons, as we learn how to bend in prayer, as we learn how to become supple, as we develop the sense of balance of the Word of God and rightly divide it, then we become disciplined to dance, to worship him in his ways. They knew his will to come out of Egypt, but they had to be instructed in the ways of God because they had been in idolaters and in the land of idolatry, and they became part of the culture, and they worshipped idols, and they thought, well, this is how we're to do it. And the tabernacle of Moses and the laws and the feasts and all of these dramatizations were to instruct them, like you would children doing a play, to instruct them on what was going on in heaven, so that they would learn who God is, a reflection of him, and how his ways are, about his ways, the worship that he desires from his people. Now, there are five positions They are all done at the bar. You have to come up to the bar. You have to come up to the standard of the Lord when you build his tabernacle, when you come to worship him. You can't offer, you can't offer strange fire. That's fire he doesn't know, you know. You can't do a different form of exercise. It's not acceptable. You are doing once, coming into unity, coming into one standard or bar, and this is for all five positions. Five speaks of the grace. Now, plies, the demi, there are two principal plies, the grand plie or full bending of the knees, and then the demi-plie or the half bending, and then the third plie is usually omitted at the bar. All of these speak of the position of the feet, where we are standing, to have balance, to be solid, that the hips are disciplined, that the knees are brought out, that they come over at a certain area when they bend, when they descend. All of this speaks of very strict discipline in order to be able to execute the dance when the time comes for the movements, that the body's tuned up and toned up. And what is the dance? Well, we're dancing out of Egypt like Miriam danced when they were released before the Hebrew children out of Egypt into the wilderness on their way to the promised land. The very first thing they had to do in order to be delivered out of Egypt was to be delivered with the Passover lamb, the blood sacrifice, the lamb that is spoken of that was slain from the foundations of the earth, that this provision was already made, that the blood was appropriated. It was spiritually put on the lintels of the doorposts of the house, and the death angel passed over and did not slay the firstborn, because God sent his firstborn, Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, to take our place in sin and death. And so we must appropriate him spiritually. We must apply his blood in order to come into his tabernacle, which Moses' tabernacle speaks of. But this is for people coming out of an adulterous religious system. If we look at Abraham, God made a covenant with Abraham before Moses and prophesied to him, and God, Moses split the animals. He sacrificed them, cut them in two, and a deep sleep came upon Moses, and a burning torch came in between the midst of the flesh, the pieces, and the Lord himself walked through. The Lord himself was going to keep the covenant. He was enabling Moses, and the covenant is that Moses was looking for an eternal city, a heavenly city, even though he said, the Lord told him that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky, and that he would give them the promised land of Israel, and that they would go down to Egypt for 400 years and then be delivered. The Lord was instructing, he was speaking to the children of Israel, he was instructing them, and then he was teaching them when he showed them all these things of his ways of doing things, and not what the heavenly requirements were, and that the Lord himself, Yeshua, was going to keep the covenant. He was going to walk between the pieces. And even now, those who are part of the body of Christ have two holy covenants that they put themselves in remembrance of, the blood covenant and the flesh of Yeshua, the Messiah. And that we eat his bread, that we eat the bread, that means we eat his flesh, and we drink his blood, we partake of his life. We do this in remembrance of him. He is our feast. We feast on him because it's an open show that not only are we part of God's body, his tabernacle, his holy temple, but it says to the principalities and powers, we don't partake of the table of demons and idolatrous blood sacrifices and altars and all these other worship that is not ordained by God. And in that Sabbath rest, the rest of the Lord, He enables us to do this. We keep his commandments, it says. When we come into his tent, we are reminded of his name, you know, Yahweh, Hodveh, his commandments on the tassels, because we are not to follow after harlotry, not idolatry. And we remember to do all God's commandments. Now, Leviticus says there are 613 commandments. Yeshua kept them all. We are commanded to abide in him, and he writes his laws in our spirit, our Holy Spirit. And the laws are summed up in this, Jesus said. The commandments are summed up in this. Not all of the Levitical religious keeping, festivals and feasts and ordinances, those all were a dramatization of Yeshua, the heavenly fulfillment of that. Jesus said these two commandments fulfill all the law and prophets. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength and mind. The first four commandments, if you don't know them, you should look them up. And to love your neighbor as yourself. And these are how these commandments are kept. This is God's appropriation in our life. Well, Moses never had any promised land. He had the heavenly city. And when the children came out of Egypt to Israel, they had to appropriate and apprehend through the discipline of instruction of the heavenly tabernacle, Moses' tabernacle in the wilderness. And they began to progress, and that God himself was going to keep this because they failed. They went into idolatry and worshiped golden calves. They continually, God's people are continually go into the whorehouse, the institutional religion, the other altars that men are building, they're not built according to the word made flesh, and the once and for all sacrifice who we worship in spirit and truth. We have all these people who call themselves Christians, and they are whores. They're in the whorehouse, and they're playing the religious altar, and they don't know Yeshua. To worship him in spirit and truth. To worship the dance, to come into that place where we can dance before him, because we've learned his ways and his spirit moves and flows through us and brings these truths into a demonstration of worship and open display before the principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Come dance with me. Come dance with me, says the Lord. I'll show you. I will teach you how to do the dance. The dance of the ages, the dance of the heavens, the dance of the bride and the bridegroom. Now, Hebrew was the father of all nations, and he depicted the covenant that God was going to keep with all the nations. The Hebrews were just supposed to teach us of God's ways and to show us, and they failed miserably. So God himself raised up. And although he brought out Moses, it says in Romans 4 that by faith, now Abraham from the Ur of the Chaldees did not know Moses' tabernacle or this or that or all the 613 laws. He didn't know all these things, but he was justified by faith, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. To him who works, the wages are not counted as great, but as a debt. So we can't work for it. God has to pay us back. And the promise was that he would be the heir of the world, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. This is about walking in faith. We don't walk in the law. We can't keep the law. We fail miserably. It's by abiding in him, in his tabernacle, in John 16:15. If you abide in me and I abide in me, and he abides in the Father, if you ask anything in my name, it shall be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We are the light and the salt as we are in the tabernacle, as we tabernacle with him and move and breathe and live in the Spirit of God daily. And remind ourselves that he died and shed his blood for us, and that we're to stay in his spirit, that his commandments will be operating, and his counsel in our heart, and our eyes won't tend towards the idolatrous ways of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And this faith is this Hebrews that God, our God, is that it's a testimony. It's our testimony. And although all kinds of things have happened, all these people have gone on before us, have died in faith, and have had different situations in which they were. Abraham was different than Isaac, than Jacob, than Joseph, than Moses. And they had different facets of their faith reflected in their lives. Some were killed, some were slain, Barak, Jephthah, Gideon, David, Samuel, that all these things are not appropriated by the knowledge of good and evil, but by that tree, not that tree. Oh, yeah, I know this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is bad, but by the cross, the other tree of life working in us to crucify that Jesus became a curse for, and his blood atones us and makes it cries out to redeem us, to reconcile us back to him and to the Father, that we might be truly children of God, that tree of life is as we crucify our flesh and come into that heavenly tent of abiding in Christ, that heavenly prayer shawl under the wing of the Almighty, and that we do not come into we come into Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to all the angels, to the general assembly, and the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Who made them perfect? God did. Who's perfecting them? I will perfect that which concerns you. He's perfecting that. He is the author and finisher. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling, that speaks better things than that of Abel. And so we are to listen to him. We're not to refuse him who speaks. For if we don't, we're going to have a terrible judgment, because he's speaking from heaven. And he's shaking everything that can be shaken. It's temporal, and that's going to pass away. And he's not this shaking once more indicates that there are removal of things that are being shaken, things that are made so that we can receive the unshakable kingdom, the eternal kingdom that he is part of. We're receiving this unshakable kingdom by grace, that we may serve God, because we are a holy and royal priesthood. He has redeemed us out of the nations by his blood to serve him, and to be on fire, to be a burning light, and to bring light and testimony of him to this Mount Zion. This is not a religious structure or system or kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is an eternal kingdom, and all this temporal is going to be passed away. So what are you vesting your life in? Psalm 90 says, you know, establish the work of my hand, O Lord. How can we know it? If we do not come into his tabernacle under the tent of prayer, where we have fellowship and communion with him, abide him, and we hear his instruction and his leading. Plié, the third part in the series, challenge, en garde, touché, plié.